come and lift your voice. All those on the mountaintop be glad and shout for joy. Rise up and praise Him. With all your mind, rise up and praise Him.
Rise up and praise Him.
He deserves our love. Rise up and praise Him. Worship the Holy One with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Rise up and praise Him. Rise up and praise Him. Rise up and praise Him.
All right, we're going to read responsively, so follow the direction on the screens. As the time approached for Him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem.
As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the ground.
The whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen.
Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David.
Hosanna in the highest.
When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered,
This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee.
Lift up your heads, O you gates.
Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in.
Who is the King of glory?
The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle.
Who is he, this King of glory?
The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory.
Prepare our hearts for prayer this morning. I have a note here from some of our church family. Dear friends of our church, thank you for the ones of you who helped build our nice ramp. It's very useful. Sorry, I'm just getting this message to you. Love and prayers, Max and Sue. And there are some thanks for other items that you have been doing along the way. And they're very appreciative for all that you have done to support them as they've gone through this difficult time where both of them are having health issues. And we're glad that indeed Sue and Max are with us this morning here. And so we're glad to see them in church this morning. Great to have Brother Bruce back from his surgery. It's great to see him up here on the platform. I wasn't sure if he was going to be able to get there, but when I came in the sanctuary, he was already here. So we're excited about that and glad for his recovery and pray his continued speedy recovery. We want to remember Dee Jennings, who is at home this morning, recovering from knee replacement surgery that just took place this past week. And then we want to remember Brandon Melton this morning, our pastor up at what is now One Life Church. But he was diagnosed this week with pneumonia. And so we pray for Brandon that he will be touched by the Lord and help. I know he's excited about the new things that are going on at their church. And then some of you are also acquainted with Jimmy and Stephanie Phillips, and they lost a baby this past week. And, of course, they just lost a son not too long ago. And so we pray for them as they're going through some dark days and through the valley. We know that God will help them. We want to remember Joe Tallhelm, who used to be a pastor here on the Joplin Zone. He's in Louisiana now and has been for many years. But Joe has been battling for the last couple of years cancer, and they thought it was clear. And he went to the doctor, and they found some more nodes in his throat. And he just had that surgery this past week. So you pray for Joe and Becky Tallhelm as they're recovering also in this situation. And then a good friend of ours who's been here many times with us, Brother Lane Lohman. I just caught through his schedule. He begins services today at Sarcoxy. And so he is in revival there at our Sarcoxy Church with Brother Wayne Rose. And they'll be going through Wednesday evening, so we want to remember those services. Indeed, Nathan and Amanda Brandt have been here the last couple Sundays, but talked to them. A couple things there. Her uncle, Ron Cherry. She is she's the granddaughter of Marvin and Alice Cherry, but her uncle Ron has melanoma cancer, and they don't know how long he has left to live. And then she said their young daughter, a little blonde-haired girl, Addie, had a fever yesterday, and so that they, and depending how she was feeling, they might not be able to be with us this morning. And I see that they're indeed not here. So pray for Addie this morning as well. Pray for Sister Ruth, who is recovering from eye surgery and already seeing better. And so we're thankful for that, and just praying for that. And Julia continued recovery for the eye surgery that she's been through and continuing to improve. And George Ann, I see back there. Good to see. There she is, continuing to recover and getting better and stronger all the time. So we're thankful for that. We had a lot of folks who've been going through some very difficult times. Ted, recovering from knee surgery. And so just remember these. Truman Mills is at home. Recovering from a stroke. Remember the Sutherland family as their son Brett is battling leukemia. I did see Lane Mendenhall this past week, and he was out and about and looking pretty good. And so they're hoping to be back here sometime soon, and so continue to pray for them. We just have an ongoing list of things. There are many, many things. Obviously, there's a lot of situations going on in our church that have taken a lot of our people out of the pews. And we're glad for you who are here this morning. And we're trusting God for a great day in the Lord's house. But continue to pray one for another, your brothers and sisters in Christ. I noticed on Facebook this past week there was a National Siblings Day. And so everybody's posting pictures of all their brothers and sisters. Folks, these are your brothers and sisters. These are your siblings. This is the family of God. And we continue to lift them up in our prayers. And so we're going to sing together. The altars are open to you. If you need a place to lift up praise or to lay down burdens, whatever the case might be, you feel free to come and find a place. No one will bother you. It'll just be your private time with the Lord. We're going to sing together, and then we'll join our hearts and voices together in prayer.
He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ.
Father, what a privilege and honor it is to be in your house today, gathered with our family, your family, our brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, we are thankful for what each one of them mean to us. And Lord, we are thankful for our own siblings and glad to have the privilege of even pastoring some of my own siblings. And so, Lord, you have blessed us in many, many ways. And we come today with grateful hearts. We come with thanksgiving. We come with joy. We're thankful to have our sins forgiven. We're thankful to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're thankful, Father, for your guidance and direction in the Holy Word of God. We thank you for all of the provision that you have made for us to be successful on this journey we call life. And so, Father, we indeed just want to spill over with praise today. We thank you for these great songs that have been sung from our hearts. We thank you for those that you have gifted to put on paper and pen thoughts that we can agree with and that we can echo, that when maybe we didn't even know what to say ourselves, that we thank you for these who know how to put thoughts into words so that we can together lift up praise to you and tell you how wonderful that we think you are. And indeed, Father, we thank you on this Palm Sunday that you indeed are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that you have come to give us an example, to show us the way, that you then went to be with the Father in heaven, and that you sit at the right hand right now, interceding on our behalf, speaking on our defense. And Father, we are thanking you for your Son Jesus. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, for the privilege as we go through this Holy Week to think about, to contemplate why Jesus came, to think up to the point of Good Friday and the cross, to think about the sacrifice that Jesus made, to think about the victory, and then to come in next Sunday and celebrate the empty tomb and the resurrection. Lord, we look forward to that. It'll be an exciting time. And Lord, we just pray that you would give us a great week this week, that even in this week, that the very fact that it's Holy Week and going into Easter, that might even enhance our opportunities to share our faith. That might open more doors for us to walk through and tell people about Jesus. Lord, help us to be not to be bashful, but to with excitement invite people out to the services. If they don't have a place to go to church and worship next Sunday, that we indeed would seek out our friends and neighbors and invite them to come and be with us as we have special events going on. Lord, we pray that you would just have your will and your way in all that's said and done. We pray you'd bless the continuing worship today in the morning service, and even as we come together tonight at 6 o'clock, Lord, we pray that you would bless the the activities where we are trying to open our hearts and minds to you. We're trying to get to know you better. We're trying to be more surrendered, more yielded, completely as a living sacrifice on the altar of God, that you might indeed do with us what you want, that we might serve kingdom purpose, and that that we might indeed show the true Jesus and the true love of God to our world, that those who are lost and hurting and dying without Jesus might make a connection, might see him, might come to know him and enjoy the blessings and benefits that we enjoy as the children of God. Father, we pray that you indeed would touch each request that we have already mentioned. You know the situations, whether they are health issues or whether there are job situations or whatever the cases might be. Lord, you know every situation. You know every detail. You indeed are the giver of life. And Lord, today we pray that you would help us, that as we continue, we're going to keep talking about it, that Lord, as our district superintendent challenged us to write down those names on the back of that bulletin, that we would continue to not grow weary in well-doing, but continue to lift up the names of those we know who don't know you, that indeed, Father, we might have a part in the link of, to be a link in the chain of bringing them to a saving knowledge, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Help us, Father, to continue to be concerned and have a passion for the lost world around us, that we would be the lighthouse you would have us to be, and we'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory, for you are worthy. And all God's people said, amen.
Lord, I see so much in me that I just can't get right. Things that steal my sleep at night, but in your word I read about a peace I wish I felt. How can you forgive me when I can't forgive myself? Thank you. died for you. I died for you.
I am a very blessed man to have the privilege of pastoring my actual sister in my congregation, to have a couple of my cousins, and Cheryl is my first cousin, and we have been like brother and sister since we were little kids. And to still have at least one of my own children still around and to be a part of the congregation is a great blessing. For those of you who and I would think it would be everyone, who knows the joy of having family close by, to have times together. What a privilege and an honor it is to have family to be part of the congregation. They know me better than anyone, and yet they still stick around. And so I'm complimented by that and humbled at the same time. And so very thankful to have family, but I'm also thankful for God's family that is around, and the things that you do, the small things, the little things sometimes that other people don't know about, a phone call, a card, a word of encouragement, the little things that you do to each other. I just had someone stop me in the foyer today, and they said, I've got a little prank I want to play on someone, and I think that's great, because that's how family is, you know. Family loves each other, and we antagonize each other, and we do it all in love, and fun and fellowship, and it's great to be like that. You know, if somebody wasn't pestering me a little bit, or I hope you understand that if I didn't pester you a little bit, that would mean that I wasn't sure how things were going. When I'm pestering you, that means I feel pretty good about our relationship, and I'm comfortable doing that, and so indeed glad to be here and to be a part of that. What a great song that It Was Enough. How many of you believe that Jesus' blood is enough to take care of your problems, to deal with your sins? And indeed, we are grateful, and we celebrate. And today, as we think about that Friday where Jesus was on the cross and where he shed his blood, we are at that entry point where he comes into the city of Jerusalem, and indeed the world around him had great expectations. They just weren't necessarily what God had in mind. And so I want us to take a look at that this morning from John chapter 12. And I want to propose to you that the thought of that crowd by the time that week was over was just this: he's not what we thought or what we wanted. He's not what we thought or what we wanted. I want us to read together John chapter 12. We're going to read verses 12 through 19, and then we're going to jump down to verse 44 and read through verse 50. So John chapter 12, beginning at verse 12. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Now, how many of you noticed the palm branches waving this morning? The kids did a great job, didn't they? Now, the interesting thing is, I told Brother Steve, I said, "Now tell the kids that they can yell Hosanna as loud as they want, even while we're singing." They were waving real well, but they get real bashful. You know, those kids that live at your house and get loud and rowdy every once in a while, they tend to get kind of quiet around here in certain spots. But indeed, they did a great job waving those branches. And that's how it was on the day that Jesus entered Jerusalem. There was a great crowd waving palm branches and throwing those branches down on the pathway in front of where Jesus was traveling. Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. many people because they had heard that he had given this miraculous sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." And then moving to verse 44 in our reading, "Then Jesus cried out, 'When a man believes in me, he does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. When he looks at me, he sees the one who sent me. I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. As for the person who hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save it. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. That very word which I spoke will condemn him at the last day. For I did not speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. I know that his command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say." So here we have Jesus entering Jerusalem, and indeed he is coming as a king of kings, but he's not coming as the king that those people wanted. He indeed had his agenda that was given to him by the Father in heaven. He indeed had come to proclaim that message, but these folks were looking for an earthly king. If we read in the passage this morning, those verses 12 through 15, again, we see that he is coming, and it says, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." And then there is indeed a prophecy that is quoted, and you'll find those exact words in Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9, where it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Now, they were praising him as a king, but they thought he was going to set up a kingdom here on this earth. Listen to the prophecy, though. "See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation." They were not thinking about the salvation of their eternal souls. They missed the part about righteous. They were simply looking for an earthly king who was going to come in and deliver them from Rome's oppression. One of the things that when Jennifer and I were traveling in Europe during sabbatical, when we went into the city of Rome and we went to the Colosseum, one of the things we learned was that Nero had built there in the Colosseum area. There are four hills that surround the lower area where the Colosseum sits. And Nero had come in and built a palace that extended all the way around all four of those mountaintops. And he dug a lake. Where the Colosseum sits now was a lake built by Nero for his own pleasure. You remember Nero. He's the guy that used Christians for torches in his garden. Rome hated him. And what we found out was that almost with most of the rulers that occupied Rome as a governing city, every time one of them would be assassinated or pass away, the next one would come in and they would do virtually everything they possibly could to wipe out any memory of those rulers. And in Jesus' day, Rome was hated because they were oppressing God's people. They ruled over them. They looked down upon them. And so they were ready for Jesus to come and be the Messiah deliverer, only they weren't thinking about their eternal souls. They were thinking about the right here and the right now. They wanted Jesus to come in and overthrow Roman rule, set up a kingdom right here so that God's people could put their thumbs in their lapels and say, "Look who we are again. We're God's chosen people. We're going to tell you what to do. You're not going to rule over us." That's what they were looking for. They didn't understand the prophecy. They missed the part about righteousness. They missed the part about salvation. Because we realize that Jesus was here to establish a different type of kingdom. If we look at Matthew chapter 4 this morning and read Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17, It says this, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. This is the message he'd been preaching the whole time he'd been here. They didn't get it. They didn't understand it. He was talking about the kingdom of heaven coming to earth. Listen to this. If you go on over into the 6th chapter of Matthew, as he was teaching them to pray in verses 9 and 10, he said, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then look at the 33rd verse of that same 6th chapter of the book of Matthew. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. They were looking for an earthly power structure. They were looking for a kingdom that would give them notoriety as Israelites, as God's people. Jesus came to establish a kingdom like it is in heaven. The whole point of the kingdom of heaven coming to earth is simply to say this. What is the kingdom of heaven like? God is the ultimate authority. Everything in heaven happens as God wishes. Nothing else ever happens in heaven except what God wishes. The whole point was, as you listen to Jesus talk, he talks about saying what his Father told him to say. He talks about doing what his Father told him to do. All through his earthly ministry, he keeps talking about, I'm getting all my direction from above. That's what the kingdom of heaven on earth looks like. When God's people say, God, you are the ultimate authority in my life. Everything I say, everything I think, and everything I do is under your authority, under your direction. It's not about what I want. It's not about my agendas. But indeed, I am here. You have forgiven me. You have saved me. I am yours. What do you want me to do? That's the kingdom of God on earth. That's the kingdom that Jesus came to establish, was a place where God ruled every man's heart. He rules our attitudes. He rules our actions, our activities. Everything is about what he wants. That's the kingdom that Jesus came to set up. They thought Jesus was coming as a warrior and was going to overthrow the government. But Jesus came on the back of a donkey, and the donkey always represents humility and peace. He didn't come to overthrow by force. But he came to bring peace to our hearts, to our relationships, and to establish God's authority so that all men were looking to God and his word. He didn't come to be a judge. You know, oftentimes if things don't go the way we want, we get a judge and he passes judgment, and then that's just the way it is. Jesus, we know, did a lot of teaching during this next Passion Week. What we understand to be Passion Week or Holy Week, when Jesus, if you look through biblical history, when Jesus was on earth, he was doing all kinds of teaching. There was the cleansing of the temple. There was the washing of the feet of his disciples. There's the parable of the two sons, the parable of the tenants, the parable of the wedding banquet. He talks about paying taxes to Caesar. He taught about the greatest commandment. He taught the seven woes, about the 10 virgins, about the talents, and about the sheep and the goats. He's teaching all kinds of things. And what happened was these same people who were looking for the overthrow of the Roman government, when Jesus came in and he began to teach them about changing their hearts and changing their attitudes and yielding themselves and surrendering themselves to God, all of a sudden it started changing from Hosanna to crucify him. It's like, wait a minute, we don't want to hear that. We want you to talk about you're going to make us powerful as a nation again. We want to hear that you're going to put us on the top of the totem pole. We want to hear that everybody else is going to be under our feet and under our authority and under our command. Jesus said, that's not why I came. It's not why I'm here. They just really did not understand. John chapter 12 and verse 16, it says, at first his disciples did not understand all this. There's a song that I enjoy singing from time to time. It's called They Could Not. It goes like this. They looked at him and saw a simple man, a carpenter with healing in his hands. They saw him calm the sea and heal a dying man. They saw, but could they really understand? They could not. They could not. Though they tried, they could not. He was just a simple carpenter, but with healing in his hands. And could they really understand? They could not. They listened to the teachings that they heard. They wondered at the mystery of his words. They wondered what he meant about a father's plan. They heard, but could they really understand? They could not. They could not. Though they tried, they could not. They listened to his teachings about a father's plan, but could they really understand? They could not. They didn't get it. Because they were too focused on what they wanted. They were too focused on what they were hoping he would be instead of listening to what he was and who he is. They wanted him to serve their purpose. Not talk to them about serving God's purpose. Jesus makes an interesting statement about himself as we read on in the 12th chapter in the latter part of the text. For at verse 47 says, as for the person who hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world but to save it. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. That very word which I spoke will condemn him at the last day. Here's the deal. You know, how many times have you heard somebody say, well, a God of love would not send anybody to hell? How many times have you heard that? Did you know that God has never sent anybody to hell? Everybody who is in hell is there because they rejected the way that God gave them to stay out. They were condemned by their own words and their own actions because he laid the criteria out ahead of time and they wouldn't comply. He told them how it could be done. He told them he would help them do it, but they rejected that. And everybody who's in hell today, tomorrow, or any time in the future will be there because they sin themselves by condemning themselves by not obeying the criteria that God has left them. Jesus didn't come here to be a judge. We look in John chapter 3 and verse 17. We're familiar with John 3:16. John 3:17 says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Jesus didn't come to be a judge. His purpose here was to save those people who at the beginning of the week were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed be the name of the Lord. Here's our king. When they found out what his kingdom was, they weren't interested. When they found out that he wanted them to change their hearts, that he wanted them to change their lives, that he wanted them to change their desires, that he wanted them to change their activities, they're going, wait a minute, that's not what we're looking for. We just want you to put us in charge. Give us notoriety, make us somebody. They couldn't think past the temporal realm. They couldn't think into eternity. They didn't understand about their souls. Jesus did not come to be an earthly king. He did not come to judge them. They judged themselves. But he did come to be the Savior of the world. Verse 47 says, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save it. And we know that he stated this kind of thing on different occasions. For if you turn to Luke chapter 19... and you look in Luke chapter 19 and at verse 10, he says this, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. His purpose in coming here was to bring salvation, to impart righteousness, to change the hearts of men, to make the world a better place because of his presence in it. And if Jesus is still going to be present today making a difference, you know how he's going to do it? He's going to do it through us. He's going to do it by us being a right reflection. And today, the message has never changed. The message is still the same. Jesus wants to save the world. God doesn't want any to perish, but all to come to repentance. But what does repent mean? Repent means to be sorry enough to quit. It means to turn 180 degrees and go the opposite direction. It means to allow change to take place. One of the things that concerns me is that a lot of Christendom today seems to be people who are looking for an escape route, but not a life change. And I understand that we can be too legalistic sometimes and that we can preach a message that people tend to kind of get works-oriented. And it's not that any of your works will save you, because only what Jesus did on the cross will bring salvation. Only faith in that. But the Bible also tells us that faith that doesn't produce some kind of evidence of faith is dead. So we're not saved by works, but people who are saved are happy and excited and they want to please. How easy is it to work for somebody who is investing in you? How many of you used to work at a place and they had what they called profit sharing? Yeah, and so you worked at that place, and the harder you worked and the more money that place made, you actually gained by that. You felt like the company cared enough about you to invest something in your pocket. And maybe there's a company that put something in and matched your retirement. They did something for you, and so it wasn't hard to work for them because you felt like, hey, not only am I making them money, but they're trying to help me live. Well, let me tell you, when you give everything to Jesus, you get more than everything back. You can't invest your life in the kingdom of God and not get more than you started with. Because when we come into this world, we're damned and headed for hell. We wouldn't even have a choice. But God so loved the world that He sent His only Son. That crowd that was yelling, "Crucify Him," didn't even understand that they were working out God's plan for salvation. When Jesus hung on the cross and shed His blood, that it provided a way for us to have eternal salvation, to have our sins forgiven, to have a shot at being victorious by the power of the Holy Spirit coming into our lives. He came to be a Savior. If we follow what He says, we'll have eternal life. But now listen, He does say this to us in John chapter 14 and verse 6. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me." Nobody is getting to heaven without going through Jesus. You say, well, that's kind of narrow-minded. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. That's the criteria. God stated it way ahead of time. He's tried to get it out to everybody. He's provided a way by giving His own Son. He's done everything possible because He wants you to come to His heaven. He wants you to be able to overcome your past. He wants you to not have to worry about what's behind you, but to look forward to what's ahead of you. Because He loves you. He wants you to be victorious. Verses 49 and 50 of that 12th chapter. He says, "For I did not speak of My own accord, but the Father who sent Me commanded Me what to say and how to say it. I know that His command leads to eternal life, so whatever I say is just what the Father has told Me to say." God told Jesus to tell you, "I want you to have eternal life. And I've provided a way for you to have it." When we yield ourselves, when we surrender ourselves, when we invest ourselves in the kingdom of God, we gain everything that we need and more. There's a story that's told about a boy who built a boat. He worked on it, labored for it, created this wonderful little sailing ship, tied a string onto that ship, and he set it into a body of water near his home. And the wind came and the sails, the little cloth sails that he built on it, they puffed out and filled up and it was going and it got to going at a pretty good clip and it caught the current of the stream that it was in. And the string that he had attached to it was long enough, but not strong enough. And the wind took that boat out, and when it hit the end of the string, it snapped off. Hours of time, creation, floating away. He was so sad. He said, "It's lost. I'll never see it again." To his amazement, one day he was walking down the street of his city, and there in the toy shop, in the window, could it be? There sat the boat that he had built. He went into the toy shop and he said to the shop owner, he said, I built that ship. That's my boat. And the shop owner said, "I don't know what you're talking about. I bought that boat from someone else." He said, "Well, it's my boat. I want it." And he said, "Well, you can have it for this price." The little boy was heartbroken. But he went home and he began to do chores and he began to do things to earn money. And soon he had the amount that the shop owner had told him. He walked in the door of that shop. He laid the money down on the counter and he said, there's your price. And the shop owner said, "Well, then here's your boat." And he held it proudly. And as he walked out the door of that store, he said, "Twice mine. I made you and I bought you." Folks, that's where we're at with Jesus. The Bible tells us that we were bought with a price, that we are not our own. The truth of the matter is that we've been God's since creation. God made us. We're His children. We're His creation. But He paid the price of our sins through His Son, Jesus Christ. He wants to hold us and say, "Twice mine. I built you and I bought you." But He doesn't force that on us. He tells us in John that He chose us before we chose Him. But He also tells us that we have to choose Him. He won't force Himself on any of us. He didn't come to set up an earthly kingdom. Oh, He deserved all of the cheering. He deserved the hosannas. He deserved the recognition to be the King, because He was the King of kings and Lord of lords. He didn't come to be an earthly king. He didn't come to be a judge. Contrary to some people's popular opinion, God is not here to be a cosmic killjoy and keep you from having a good time. No matter of fact, Jesus said, "I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly." The NIV says that you might have it to the full. How many of you would like to believe that when you get to your dying day that you've drained every drop out of life you could have gotten with all your potential? And Jesus says, "That's what I want to do for you." Now, the enemy would tell you that your past is going to keep you out. The enemy would tell you that because you failed before, that you'll fail again. There's not sense in even trying. Do you know what Jesus says? Jesus said, "I shed my blood and I died for you because I believe in you. Matter of fact, I'm going back to the right hand of the Father and I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to plead your defense before my Father. Because both my Father and I want you here. Matter of fact, we're going to send the Holy Spirit and He's going to help you. If you ask Him, He'll come into your heart and life. He'll forgive your sins, cleanse your heart from all unrighteousness, and give you power to be victorious, to make right choices. And there's not a devil in hell can keep you out of my heaven if you want to come." Jen, I didn't get a chance to talk to you, but number 345 in the hymnal. Is "Jesus, I Come." If you would play that, and if you wouldn't mind to sing that for us. I want you to stand today. Are you shouting Hosanna? Are you lifting up praise to the King? Will you stay consistent? Will you continue to cry out, He is Lord, He's the King of kings and Lord of lords throughout your life? Or will we allow ourselves to become disillusioned like that crowd did and change from Hosanna on Sunday to crucify Him on Friday? Peter said, Lord, I'll never deny You. Then three times in one night, he blew it. You know what Jesus said when He resurrected out of the grave? He went to Peter and said, Peter, you're an idiot. I can't stand you. You failed me. You lied to me. I don't want to have you be any part of me. Is that what Jesus said to him? No, He took him to a fire. And if you read the Bible, you'll find that every time that Peter denied Jesus Christ, he was near a fire. In the 20th chapter of John, you'll find Jesus fixing breakfast at a fire. And Peter coming in off the boat. And three times, Jesus said, Peter, you love me? Peter didn't even totally understand it, but he said, yes, Lord, I love you. Jesus said, all right, you're still in. The devil is a liar and the father of lies. You haven't committed a sin God can't forgive. He wants you to be part of His kingdom. He wants to have a personal relationship with you. He wants to help you live for Him every day and share Him with others. These altars are open this morning. I just want you to bow your head and close your eyes. Jan, I want you to sing that first verse of that song. And if you're here this morning and you have a need, maybe you've never accepted Christ, maybe you've drifted and you just need to become current in your relationship with God, these altars are open to you. I invite you to come this morning. Let this be a morning of victory. And may we go out of here shouting, Hosanna, blessed is He who comes.
I've wandered far away from God.
Maybe there's something else going on in your life. You just need a place to pray. You feel free to come. Lay whatever it is down and give it to the Lord. Or maybe you're thinking about the names of those people you've written on the back of that bulletin. Maybe you'd just like to come and intercede on their behalf and leave their name right here on this altar in God's heart and mind. Janet's going to sing again. If you need a place to pray, you feel free to come, and then we'll close at the end of this verse.
I'm tired of sin. Straight.
Together tonight here at the church at 6 o'clock. Look forward to a great time in the Lord. Trust that you'll have a great Lord's Day, restful afternoon, and that you'll indeed will rest and replenish and think about God. And we hope to see you tonight as we gather together again. Bruce, great to have you back. Pray a closing prayer for us this morning, please.